We thank you for Pastor John, and we just ask you to fill his heart and his spirit with the words that you want him to speak. And I pray, Father, that we'd be ready to receive it. And I pray that your spirit would be here, Lord, that you'd be able to help us to understand exactly what you want us to know today. I pray that our lives would be changed, that things would be different, that we wouldn't leave here the same way that we walked in, Lord, that we'd be changed. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's been quite a few years since we entered into the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And even though we hardly hear about it anymore, our soldiers are still over there, and they're still fighting, and many of them are still dying on a regular basis. And I was actually looking, I was curious to find out how many places that were fighting around the globe, and found out that we're in close to 120 nations right now. We've got soldiers fighting. Isn't that amazing? We had one captured in Colombia the other day. I didn't even know we had anybody in Colombia. But we're helping get rid of insurgents there, rebels there. And not too many people really want these wars, except, of course, the companies that make all the, you know, the equipment for them. And certainly nobody wants to get killed in the fighting. But sometimes war, or at least the fighting, is necessary to protect and preserve a certain way of life. And in our case, we want to protect our nation and our way of life. And what we've seen over the last 10, 12, 13, 14, even 15 years or so is that civilization has been threatened by terrorism. And somebody has to stand up to them, and we get elected because we are still the most powerful nation on earth. Because if we don't, as we may have heard that statement said before, that all that's evil for evil to, or all that's necessary for evil to flourish is for good men to do nothing. And today I want to talk about another war that's going on. And it's been going on for as long as humans have lived on this planet. And it's a battle. It's a fight that involves every one of us. And it's the battle that we fight against our enemy, the devil. And just like most other struggles, we don't really want to get into the battle. I don't think there's anybody here who relishes the fact of entering into another war, another struggle. I mean, we really don't want to have to fight. I mean, the fact is many people don't, they don't even want to see that there is a battle that, you know, that we Christians are involved in. But there is. Some people might think, well, maybe it'll be easier. It would be easier if we weren't even Christians. Well, the ones that aren't Christians, they're in a war too. They're in the same battle. The devil's after them just like he's after us. They may not be fighting, and there's a reason why. They don't have to fight because, or they can't fight, I should say, because they're prisoners. They're the ones that are in chains. They're the ones that are bound up. And they're not only enslaved, but they're also sentenced to death. Now, if you had the choice to be a prisoner of war in the dark, bound up and sentenced to death, or be a soldier fighting on the winning side, knowing that you are going to win and having freedom, I mean, which side would you choose? I know me, I certainly am. I know for me, I mean, the choice would be obvious. I'm going to fight. I'm not just going to give up and lay down and become a prisoner sentenced to death when I have the opportunity to fight. So to fight is really the only sensible answer. And we need to fight to protect that freedom that I have talked about for the last couple of weeks. And that's the freedom that gives us the opportunity to walk in the plan or the destiny that God has designed for us. If you remember in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And we've seen all kinds of scriptures that talk about the plans that God has for us. And that's good news. So why do I want to do all this talk about fighting? Well, I'm talking about the fighting because the devil is plotting. He's a schemer, and he is plotting to wreck the plans that God has for your life. Every single person in here has you have a destiny, you have a calling. You know, we've been talking about accepting this call, and you've got this calling from God. You've got this ministry in you, this life in you that God wants you to share, this thing that God has given you. We all have something, at least something, at least one thing. Many of us have even more. And the devil wants to wreck the plans that God has for you. He wants to knock you out of your purpose, of your plan of God. He wants to knock you right out of it. God's word is very clear, as we're going to see, that we have a real fight on our hands. You have a living, breathing enemy that devises schemes to destroy you. He wants to wreck whatever God is doing good in your life. That's why in 1 Peter 5:8 it tells us to be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. There's something in there that you can that's maybe we haven't noticed before, but it's not just God's enemy. The devil is not just God's enemy. It tells us in there that he is your enemy, the devil. We know that the devil is the enemy of all that is good. We know that the devil is the enemy of God. But it also says he's your enemy. In other words, he's got his sights set on you. And he's looking for someone to devour. John 10:10 says, "The thief," that's another name for the devil, "the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." Those are his plans for you. He wants to steal every good thing that God has given you. He wants to destroy the work of God in your life. He wants to kill you. He wants to send you into everlasting death. His end game, that's his end game, to destroy you in whatever way he can. Ephesians 6:12 says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. We don't like to think about that, but there are powers out there, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Now, the Bible doesn't just say these things because it sounds nice. It doesn't just say them as, you know, some kind of, you know, freaky kind of thing. We should put on aluminum foil hats and go hide in the closet. This is real stuff. Rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's who our fight is with. That's who we're fighting. I'm sure most of us here feel we've got enough things to deal with that we can see already. We don't really want another fight. We don't have to worry about spiritual terrorists. We've got the natural ones all around. But you know what? The devil and his demons are just as real as the things that we can see. And they have potentially, you know, the ability to cause even more harm than the things that we can see. And to ignore them or to pretend that they don't exist is going to harm us, is going to hurt us. It can only hurt us. Now, let me say this. We have absolutely, and I'm going to say this more than once because I got to make sure this is something we know. We have absolutely no reason to be afraid about any of this stuff I'm saying. As real as it is, we have no reason to fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. With God on our side, we have absolutely nothing to be afraid of. But we need to be aware of what's going on. The Bible tells us over and over to be aware, to be on guard, to be sober-minded, to be vigilant, to be watchful. There's all these warnings in there, and many of them specifically spell out the devil. is the one that we're being warned about. What is also true, even though God has plans for your life, what is true is that the devil has plans for your life. And he's quite a character. His plans are always counter to God's. He's not just going to say, I sort of like God's plan for her life. I think I'll follow the same plan. You think that's the way it's going to work? No way. He's going to look at whatever God's plan is, and he's going to say, you know what? I'm going to wreck that plan. I'm going to wreck that person. I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to make them miserable. I'm going to work overtime on them. He's always hard at work, plotting, scheming, looking for ways to nullify God's destiny for you, God's plan for you, his good things, the good things that he has going on in your life. But through Christ, we have the power to defeat this enemy and watch his plans go down in flames, as they have so many times in the past. You might remember a guy by the name of Moses. God had great plans for him. Moses was destined to be. He was born to be a leader of the nation of Israel, and to deliver those people. He was the great deliverer. In fact, he was a shadow, a foreshadowing of Jesus, taking them from captivity, taking them out of Egypt. Let my people go. But Satan had other plans for Moses. In Exodus 1:22, it tells the story, and I'm not going to get into the whole story. I'm just going to give you a couple highlights. And the highlight is that he was working through through Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had all the boys that were born at that time thrown into the Nile River and killed. And Moses, just like all the other little boys, was thrown into the Nile too. But his mother took a chance, and instead of just throwing him in the water and having him drown right away like all the other moms did, she put him in a little basket and sent him on down the river, hoping that, against hope, that somehow maybe my baby will live. Well, remember, God had plans for that little baby. So Moses gets found and rescued by the Pharaoh's daughter. And Moses ends up being raised in his palace by his own family and his mom. And sometimes I think that God has like the greatest sense of humor in the world when you look at that. Here, the devil uses Pharaoh to destroy Moses. He misses Moses and ends up raising Moses for God. Isn't that cool? That's the way God works. Then in the New Testament, we find a very similar incident happening. The devil knew that Jesus, the Messiah, was supposed to be born. And so he came up with a plan to have him killed. Now he used King Herod. And Herod gave orders to kill all the boys under two in Bethlehem and its vicinity. He figured if he heard from the Magi that, you know, they were going to worship this new baby. So he picks an age that's well above the baby's age and says, I want all the boys killed, not just in Bethlehem, but the whole area. I'm going to get this Jesus. But we're told in Matthew 2:13 that Joseph had been warned in a dream by an angel to get up and go to Egypt with mother and child, and don't come back until you get word from God. It seems like Satan just can't get his plans right. God's plans are so far superior to the devil's. His plans are so much higher. His thoughts are so much higher, not only than ours, but over the devil's too. And God's plans will prevail. Even the part about going to Egypt, you know, that was all part of God's plans. There was a prophecy about Jesus that said, out of Egypt I called my son. When Jesus' ministry was just beginning and after he had been baptized, he was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert, where he fasted and prayed for 40 days. So the devil had a plan. And he tried very hard to defeat him there. He used everything he could. He knew that Jesus was tired. He knew that he was hungry. He knew that he was weak. And so he tempted him, and he even used scripture to try to tempt him. You remember the story, make the stones into bread, you know, jump off the top of this, and let the angels save you, and, you know, worship and bow down, and I'll give you all these cities. All those were temptations that Jesus faced in the desert. But once again, the plans of the devil failed. Jesus didn't give in. And we all know about Satan's greatest and grandest plan of all, where he actually thought that he had defeated God. And that was at the cross. Satan's plan was to destroy the Son of God once and for all, so he could never be the Savior that he was destined to be. He knew that he was the Messiah. People were talking about it. The devil certainly knew. So he thought he could kill him right there on the cross. The Messiah's dead. All these people will be mine. Well, we know how that turned out for him. I could almost imagine God saying, hey, how's that working for you? God's plan once again triumphed over the devil's plans in the greatest victory ever. Originally, when God had created us, we were designed to be free of sin. We were supposed to be able to walk with God and, you know, just sort of hang out with him. And also be able to live for all eternity. And we know the devil, he appeared in the garden. We saw it in Genesis 3. And he deceived Adam and Eve, and he caused them to sin. This is not a fairy tale, this is the truth. And he ended up destroying our relation with God and dooming us to eternal death, at least at that point. But of course, even that victory was short-lived. Because once again, Satan's plans were short-circuited by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and his complete and total victory over sin and death. Satan just can't seem to get his plans right to work against God. And now whoever believes in Jesus and receives him as their Lord and Savior will be saved. And once again, every time that happens, we destroy Satan's plan against our life, against that person's life. Every time somebody is saved, another plot, another plan of Satan has just been crushed. But even though the war has been won and the victory is ours, we still have to be aware of the lies, the deceptions, the traps, the schemes of the devil, and know that he is still plotting against us. He wants to steal us back. He's not content to let us go. He wants to knock us down still and try to steal us back. It says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, it's talking about the devil, you know, being aware of the devil's schemes, and it says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. We have to fight him. We have to know what's going on so that Satan might not outwit us, that he might not be smarter than us, that he might not trick us into falling into, you know, sin and rebellion against God. It's a trick. It's a mind game that he's trying to play. And it says, for we are not unaware of his schemes. We have to know this, that he's got schemes and plots against us. Ephesians 6:11 tells us to take your stand against the devil's schemes. It keeps on talking. Schemes are elaborate plans. They're not, you know, he doesn't just throw something blatant and big right in front of you and expects you to fall into it. It doesn't work that way. It always starts out with little things. It's things that don't seem like it's going to be that bad. Maybe I can do this and, you know, it won't really get me. I can still control this. I can control myself. I just step out here a little bit and then come back. There's dangers out there. We're being warned about those dangers. Take your stand against the devil's schemes. To be able to do this, 1 Peter 5:8 warns us that we have to be self-controlled and alert. Self-control, something we need to work on. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, or fruit of the Holy Spirit, excuse me. It's something that, you know, we need to be aware of. We need to be aware that the devil is our enemy. Now, our enemy, who is still alive, is out there on the loose, and he's prowling around, it says in the Word of God, like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's just looking. He's looking to see who he can get. Now, who is the lion going to devour? I want you to think about that. Who will the lion devour? Well, first off, it's going to be those who don't believe in lions. We're talking about the devil, but I'm using that. The Bible says he's a lion looking to devour. So who's the lion going to devour? The one who doesn't believe in lions. There's no such thing as lions. I don't have to worry about lions. I can walk out in the jungle. I can walk right past this, whatever he is there, with the big mane, and there he gets me. Those who don't know that a lion is on the loose. Some people, maybe they believe in the devil, but they don't believe he's actually out there roaming around. He's out there doing, looking for us, on the loose looking for us. Then there's those people who think, well, lion's never going to get me. A lion's not going to get me. I'm born again. He ain't going to get me. I don't have to worry. Well, then why does the Bible keep telling us to be aware, to look out, to resist him, to fight him, to be aware of his schemes, to be sober and alert? Because God knows that the devil's got power out there, and he doesn't have to be able to get us if we take care. But if we pretend like, well, there are no lions, or he's not around there, or he can't get me, then we're in trouble. And then there's also those who don't recognize a lion when it's right in front of them. And that's like when the devil's right there playing with us, and we don't even see him. We don't want to sometimes see. He's tinkering with us. He's playing. He's tempting us. He's drawing us in. And nah, that's not the devil. Hey, it's just, you know, it's just that thing. It's not the devil. Remember, Satan is a schemer. He used Herod. He used Pharaoh. And he can use anything to try to work his ways into our life. He can come disguised as an angel of light, masquerading as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. In other words, he can look good. He can look good. He can sound good. He might have a ministry somewhere. He can display all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. That's in 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Anything God can do, the devil will try to counterfeit it. He always tries to take whatever God uses for good and turn it into evil. That's his M.O. This, when God created this earth, it was good. He looked at it and he said, this is good. Everything that he created was good. Somehow, things have gotten messed up. It wasn't God who did it. There's somebody behind the sin. There's somebody behind the destruction that goes on in our world. It's the devil. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's cunning. He's crafty. He's alluring. He can tempt. He's very knowledgeable. He understands us. He can hit us with fear, lust, pride, discouragement, anger, unbelief, you name it. He's got all different kinds of demons that he can use to work on us and to try to knock us down. He can put thoughts into our head. He even did it to Jesus. Jesus was tempted in the desert. Now, when you're tempted, it means you think about it. You thought about it. Jesus actually was tempted. He didn't give in. He didn't sin. But the thought came in. The thoughts come into us too. He can put thoughts right in our head. And we think it's us. We think they're our thoughts. Then we start condemning ourselves. We start feeling guilty because we had this terrible thought right in the middle of worship, right in the middle of trying to read my Bible. These thoughts come in. We think, why do I think that? Well, there's a clue. Why would you think that? Here you are worshiping God and you're just enjoying God, and all of a sudden this thought, do you think that's your thought? That's not your thought. We don't have to accept that thought. There's an old saying, something like that, goes along like, you know, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can certainly stop them from building a nest, right? That's what I mean when we start to dwell on those thoughts. We make them our thoughts. That's where the problem comes in. It's not when the thought enters our head, we just kick it out. What is that? That's not me. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to think that. I don't want that. And we get rid of it. And we don't have to spend the next 20 minutes condemning and feeling guilty and repenting. We just get rid of it. It's not my thought. It's not your thought. But he just keeps trying stuff. He's like the Terminator. He keeps appearing out of the fire, you know. You think you got him killed, and bam, there he is again. Well, until one day. In fact, there is absolutely no way we can beat the devil by ourselves. You see, this flesh likes what the devil offers it. This flesh likes all those little temptations. This flesh is more than willing to give in. This flesh is very weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we can't beat the devil by ourselves, but with God, all things are possible. In fact, not only are they possible, but it says in the Word that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. He's absolutely no match. The devil is no match for God, and the devil is no match for God in us. So as fearsome as he sounds out there, when God's in us, there's no reason to be afraid. None. No reason whatsoever. In his mind, he thinks he's, you know, he thinks he's really something. He thinks that he has probably more power than God. Otherwise, why would he have ever risen up against God? And yet he is no match at all. He's not on the same playing field. He's nowhere near him. He's a created being. A fallen angel. An angel. Not God. An angel. If you notice what I talked about earlier, it seems like none of the devil's plans against God worked out for him. And that's the way it will always be. When God is doing something that he has determined to do, the devil's not going to be able to stop God. Now that gives us a key into how we can defeat Satan. This is really important. We have to make sure that we are walking in God's plan. We have to be in Christ and submit our will to his. Then we are in God. We are in Christ. And if that's the case, when we are in him, the devil can't defeat us. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and it won't do any good. Is that what it says? Oh, no, it says, resist the devil, and he will what? Does anybody know? Flee from you. Submit yourselves to God. Get into that plan. Humble yourself. Submit to God. Get in His will. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's God's word. That's not just some hope, some fanciful hope that, well, maybe if we do this. No, this is God's word. 1 Peter 5:9, resist him standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. See, it's happening everywhere. Anywhere you go, the devil's bugging people. Bugs Christians, non-Christians, doesn't matter. He's out there. He's out to destroy. He's a thief. He loves to kill, rob, and destroy. That's just what he does, and he's good at it. He's a master. But we see here that when we submit ourselves to God, he's going to have to run from us. See, that means that we have to humble ourselves. We can't submit to somebody unless we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves before God, and we submit our will to him. This flesh, I submit this flesh to God. I let the Spirit of God work in me and take over. Whenever we start walking in our own will and start doing our own thing, you know, it's sort of like sending out a homing beacon. It's like that little black box that airplanes have. It's like what we got one of those in us. Whenever that sin is operating in us, beep, 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 beep. Here I am. Come and get me. Come and find me. Even though I could be buried or in some far off place, they can find that black box, and the devil can find us. Because he's filled with pride, he recognizes pride very easily. And he's going to come running. But if God is our hiding place, if we are in Christ, if we are clothed with Christ, and we're truly submitted to his will, the devil has a hard time finding us even. I mean, he can't overcome us when we are in Christ. If we're nominally in Christ, if we're just a little bit in Christ, then he can still deal with us. If we're just walking in our own will, he can really come against us. But when we're sold out, walking in the will of God, the devil then, he can't stop God's plans. He might still cause some problems here or there. I'm not saying that he can't. Obviously, he still got Jesus. He still tempted him. But we know that Jesus won. And so, yeah, he may still try some things, but we win. That's what I'm saying, is he can't overcome us when we are in God's will. He can't knock us down and defeat us when we are in God's will. So far we've seen that if we want to overcome the devil, God's word's giving us all kinds of instruction how to do it. Be self-controlled. Be alert. Be aware of the devil's schemes. We need to resist him. We need to stand firm in the faith, and we need to be submitted to God's will. We do all that. The devil's, well, he's going to have a tough time against us. Our arsenal is growing. The arsenal of democracy. If we turn to Ephesians 6:10, then we find that we still have more weapons, both defensive and offensive. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's what I want. I want that mighty power, don't you? Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, when the devil comes, when he tries to attack you, you may be able to stand your ground. Might have heard of that law, stand your ground law. And after you have done everything, to stand. See, the Word of God right here is making another promise to us that if we're doing all these things and if we got on the armor of God, and when the devil comes after us, we're gonna take a stand. We're gonna fight and we're gonna win. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. He's shooting these arrows at us. You can just picture him shooting these arrows at us, trying to kill us, trying to knock us out, trying to throw things into us. But with the shield of faith, those arrows aren't going to do him any good. Extinguishes those flaming arrows. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. There's that alert again. And always keep on praying for the Lord's people. So we have this armor, this defensive weaponry. And this armor is going to help us to stand up against anything the devil throws at us. So we are not unprotected. So when we're resisting the devil, when we're fighting, what God is saying is you're well protected when you're walking in my will and part of the will of God. You know, it tells us, be strong in the Lord, put on the full armor of God. So that's part of God's will for us to put on that armor, to fight, to be ready, to be defended, and be ready when the devil comes after us. Because he wants to knock us off our game. So we have all this defensive armor that's there to protect us. It's going to be really hard for him to deal with that. But then on top of that, we got something even better yet. And that's the Word of God, which is called the sword of the Spirit, it says. That's the greatest weapon of all the weapons that we have. The Word of God. That's the very weapon that Jesus himself used in the desert wilderness to defeat the devil. The Word of God. The more we know that Word, the more that Word we got into us, then the more the Holy Spirit, that's why it's called the sword of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will bring it out. He'll remind us of that Word. It says, you remember, it talks about the Holy Spirit. It says he will remind us of everything that Jesus said. He'll bring out that Word of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of truth. It comes out and fights the enemy. We're also told to pray in the Spirit. And when we do that, when we're praying in the Spirit, we're connecting to the captain of the hosts, to Jesus. We're connecting to God. We're meeting on a spiritual level. It's like we're radioing back to headquarters. We get instructions. We're letting them know where we are. We let them know what's happening. Defenses can be flown in. Supplies, you know, shipments, whatever we need. And sometimes we don't even know, I mean, really, when we're praying in the Spirit, we don't even know what we're saying. But the Spirit of God in us knows exactly what we need. So you see, God has given us so many ways. So many things are at our disposal. We have so much going for us in our fight against the devil. We have no reason ever to be afraid. We have no reason to lose the battle. As long as we do our part. If we follow these things that God has told about us, the devil won't have a chance. He won't. His plans against us will fail, just as they have for millions of other Christians, and also like they failed against Jesus. The devil never had a chance against Jesus. And we're not like Jesus. We're not perfect in every way like he was. But we have the same tools available to us. And we have the benefit of looking back at his experience too. There's a scripture that I love. It goes right here perfectly. It's in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, and Jesus is talking. And he says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Get that, let that soak into you. I've given you authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. So he's given us that authority. The devil has no authority over you. Jesus is king. Jesus is Lord. When we submit ourselves to him, we make him our Lord. Once he is our Lord, we are under his protection. We're under his domain. We're under his umbrella. We're under his roof. We're part of his family. We're one of his children. And the devil has no authority over us anymore. He lost it. He lost it. The devil has no authority over you unless you give it to him. Unless you give it to him. That's the only way he can play with you. That's the only way he can mess with you. It's the only way he can ruin you, is if we give him that authority. There's no reason in the world that we should, that we have to. We don't have to. The devil can't stop God's plans as long as we are in Christ. He's not going to mess up our destiny. He's not going to, you know, he can't take us away from God. The devil cannot take you away from God. You have to willingly walk away. That's the only way that's going to happen. The devil is not strong enough to steal you from God. He can't do it. You're not going to lose your salvation. You might throw it away, but the devil can't steal you from God. Satan cannot destroy your destiny unless you let him. In Christ, we have the victory. The victory is ours. It's done. It's a done deal. So, all I've been talking about here, again, this is about this purpose and this plan, the things that God has put into us, the things he's building in us. Sometimes we still have to go through some of these trials because the trials are what pull out of us what we're supposed to be. See, there's a reason behind all the stuff we go through. The only reason God lets us go through those things, that when we struggle, we learn, we grow, we learn perseverance. It teaches us, it trains us. We become a greater and greater at the things God put in us. It begins to develop and grow. We have to mature and become all that Christ designed us to be. And the devil will play his part in that, just like he did with Jesus. Remember, the devil put Jesus on the cross. Well, Jesus allowed, he said, nobody can take his life unless he willingly gives it. But see, there's the key. He knew this was part of the plan. So he wasn't going with the devil's plan. He was going with God's plan. The devil thought this was his plan, and it totally backfired on him. But God used the devil to accomplish His will. And so sometimes, you know, we're going to have to go through some things and deal with some things, but we deal with it. And then we resist Him. And that as we resist, as we stand firm in the faith, as we put on that armor, as we get into that word, as we use that sword, as we do those things, fighting the devil, that's how we grow up. That's how we get stronger. That's how we become the person, the man and the woman of God that we were designed to be. It's all about growing into our destiny. It's all about, you know, becoming this person that God created you to be so you can do what He created you to do. That you can become who He created you to become. So you can function in that life, in that ministry. Because you all got a ministry. Every one of us here. You have a ministry. Don't shortchange yourself. God is not, you know, He's not a God who just happens to put together and create somebody with no purpose. Think about that. Would God ever create something with no purpose? You ever see a plant, a manufacturing plant that creates a product and they start pumping them out, hundreds, thousands, and somebody does an interview and says, what are they for? I don't know. We're just making them. Has anybody found any use for them? No, we just make it. Wouldn't that be stupid? That would be dumb. Why would anybody manufacture something? And you think that God is not smarter than some manufacturing plant? I mean, the auto companies, they produce a car. They're made for a reason. Every company that makes something, whatever they make it for a reason. When God made us, He made us for a reason. And we're made in His image. We're special. We're special. You're special. So if I could have the prayer team come forward. So the overall, the quick version of that message is the devil's going to try to wreck the plan of God in your life. But you don't have to settle for that. You got everything you need to overcome the devil. And remember, Jesus has given you all authority over him and nothing will harm you. Don't ever be afraid of the devil or those demons out there. You don't have to ever be afraid of them. You don't. If you watch those movies, sometimes they have the movies out there and there's demonic things going on and some people get all scared and they start worrying, you know, like maybe the devil's going to get me and that. The devil's got no authority over you. Your head's not going to be turning around. Ain't going to happen. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you so much that you have provided a way for us to defeat the enemy. Lord, that in you we can take a stand. That we can stand firm, resist the devil, and he will flee. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us authority over all these things that are out there that are no good. Lord God, you have given us everything we need to win this battle, to win this fight, to win this war. Lord, I pray for each person in here today, everyone hearing this message, that we would be confident that we have all that we need to fight the good fight and to win the battle, to walk in our victory, the victory that Jesus won for us on the cross. And that we also would know that we can walk in our destiny, that we can make a difference in this world. As Bob and Eddie were talking about being world changers, we have that ability to be world changers. We have that ability to do great things in this earth, Lord God. I pray that each one of us would rise up, that we would take up our cross, follow Christ, and do great things. That we would accomplish great things. That we would make a difference in our world. That we would touch people's lives, help people to change for Jesus. Lord, I pray that your anointing would fall upon each one of us, that each one here, each one hearing this message, would receive that power, would receive that authority in faith, knowing that if Jesus said it, it's true. If Jesus said it, it's true. We can bank on that. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all things. We thank you for everything you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.